good friends, Conahus. If you're here to come on up, Conahus represents the Native Youth Movement. Also, the youth, they're from Canada. They come down. A lot of our warriors that you see here, standing here, they're sun dancers. We all sun dance together, and we come from all over America and also up in Canada. So at this time, I want to introduce my good friend, Conahus.
Conahus Pesky Request. Greetings, everybody. My name is Conahus Pesky, which means red woman in Tanakh. I'm from the Sequatmoc and the Tanakh Nations in so-called Canada. We don't recognize them as a country. You say that we're from Canada, but actually I'm from Sequatmoc Uluh. I'm from the Sequatmoc territory in so-called British Columbia, Canada. We are mountain people. We depend on the mountains. I was invited here by Carter to speak about our sacred mountains and the effects that it has on our nations and our people. Our mountains in the north are still clean and they're still fresh. You could go down and drink water from the creek, and it's clean. We have our ceremonies in that water. That water is sacred. We dip our babies in that cold water that comes from the glaciers. The water gives life to so much things that we depend on, in particular the salmon. We have the world's greatest, largest salmon run in the world, and the salmon mean everything to us, just like the buffalo means to the people of this land. So right now, the Canadian government is trying to commit genocide on our people just by trying to destroy our salmon. It means everything. Everybody eats salmon. Every household eats salmon. Every household goes out and picks huckleberries, still goes out and hunts deer and moose. We didn't sign no treaties in British Columbia, in so-called British Columbia. There's no treaty signed except from one or two little ones. But besides that, it's all unceded, unsurrendered Indian territory. We're sovereign nations. And only now is the government trying to push a modern-day treaty process on our people. But our traditional leaders are telling us no, no treaties. Treaties are meant to be broken. When the white man first came with treaties, they knew they were going to break them. And now the native people, they're trying to stand up for the treaties and still trying to push the treaties, but the white man has broken every single one of them. So it should be null and void. And we should go back prior to that, when we were totally free. And so with the Native Youth Movement, how it came into our community was we were standing up to protect our mountains. We call Skukwakul, the mountain high in the Alpine, because the white man and the Japanese and foreign investors trying to build a massive all-seasons resort, starting from a ski resort, golf course, real estate, right smack dab in Skukwakul. And our elders said, don't call it anything else. Call it Skukwakul. Just like this, Mato Paha. Just always recognize our places and our sacred places by their traditional name. So the youth began to organize in the community, organize all the other young people that didn't want to drink, that were trying to find different ways to express themselves. and said, okay, well, we need to organize. We can't just depend on the older generation to fight for us. We got to stand up and we got to fight and we got to put our self on the front lines, because it's our generation now, the people of fighting age. We come down here with the warrior delegation, the Warriors Alliance, from different warriors from across Canada, so-called Canada. The warriors, the young people of fighting age. So it was time for us, it was our turn, that we needed to stand up. And we said, what are we going to do about it? We occupied buildings, government buildings that are selling our land, giving demands that this is all Indian land, unceded, unsurrendered Indian land. And we brought attention nationally that Native youth were standing up and saying, no, you can't sell our land. And if you do, we warn investors that this land is not for sale, that we're still in a battle for our homelands. And the youth are willing to do whatever it takes. We've had over 75 arrests of youth, women, and elders standing up for our mountains, Kukwakult. We roadblocked. We set a fire on the main highway going up to the resort. At one point, that fire got 10 feet high, burnt a big hole in that road. And we stopped all those tourists from coming up to Sun Peaks. And some of them said, you can't do this. This is a first world country. You can't block this road. These people are paying big money to come on these tours up here. You can't do this. But yeah, we could. Because that's our land. And we even brought that out after we were charged. We brought that out in court. We said, this is our land. This is our home. This whole mountain is our home. This everything is sacred to us. But that judge, he still looked at us and laughed. He said, you guys are bordering along the lines of ridiculous for thinking that that whole mountain is your home. But we still maintain that. And we choose not to bow down to the courts, you know, or their man-made law. Because the elders, they tell us there's a difference between that, the man-made law and the natural law, the spiritual law, or creator's law, or whatever you want to call it in English language. Our kyas, our grandmothers, were arrested by the police, and they still went out there again and got arrested by the police. Stood on that road, the elders and the women, they stood on that road, just a handful of them, five of them, had another roadblock in the middle of winter, minus 20 below, standing there, blocking white tourists from coming up and skiing. Showing the children, this is our land. All of this is Indian land, not just on these little reservations, these little concentration camps that they forced us to go. They said, leave those concentration camps. That's just all in your mind, that border. Leave it. Go. Go to the mountains where you could survive. What happens when the taps stop working? No water's coming out of your taps on the res, or their electricity goes out in the middle of winter. Is everybody prepared for that? Is everybody prepared to feed themselves, to clothe themselves, to keep themselves warm? The elders are telling us to go out and dry your food enough for 5 years. Enough so you could survive for 5 years. That's just for you and your family, let alone all the Native people that are coming to go for refuge in our country. Like, we're going to have to prepare for these times to come. They say that Our place is beautiful. So beautiful that the 2010 Winter Olympics is going to be coming right there to our home. And they're going to see our mountains, and they're going to drive way back, and they're going to see our valleys that are untouched with the grizzly bears and mountain goats and cougars and mountain lions and deer and moose and caribou and all these things, clean water, glaciers, waterfalls falling down from the glaciers. And they're going to see that, and they're going to see money. That's what the 2010 Winter Olympics is going to bring to our area. And rich investors, and they're going to open their eyes, and they're going to say, wow, this is untouched. It's going to be like that initial land grab that happened here. Everyone's scrounging to get this land for dirt cheap because it's stolen Indian land. Dirt cheap. People are going up there buying land. So what are we going to do about it, the young people? All my young cousins and my children and all these young people that are like make up 75%. 75% of our communities are all youth, all young. Once we brought Native Youth Movement into our community and start organizing for our lives, for our way of life, to bring that back. Now all the youth, all the little kids are NYM Red Power. Every time they see each other.
Oh my goodness.
And they keep their head high. And they know it's our land. They know it's our land. All of it is our land. All the way from Alaska straight down to Argentina. No borders. The white man made those borders. We had alliances way before the white man came. We had Sundance up in our community way up there before the white man came. That's where how far our alliance goes back. It's always been there. My grandfather, Grand Chief George Manuel, he went around the world talking to indigenous people about uniting, having one world council of indigenous peoples united. And that's what we need to talk about when we're at places like this, unite. Uniting, how are we going to show solidarity for each other and each other's struggles? Because it's one struggle. They throw one of us in jail, they throw all of us in jail. They kill one of us, they're killing all of us. They hurt one of us, they're hurting all of us. And they're hurting the mother, this land, Matopaha, Skukwakol, all the sacred areas on Turtle Island or around the world. They hurt that. They're hurting all of us.
Yeah, but it'd be wonderful just to keep
and what business. Are we going to do about it today? It's really hard for young people to sit around and listen to laws and UN and everything because we haven't seen no justice from that. And we haven't seen no progress. Still, our youth are in our communities, and every reservation, crystal meth, alcohol, suicide, all these things that plague Indian communities. It's everywhere. It's up north. It's way, way, way up in the farthest of the Gwech'in communities, even way up there in the Arctic village. So wherever there's all these problems and things. And what I found when we start organizing with Native Youth Movement and organizing and educating ourselves about decolonization, going back to the ways, really listening to the elders when they speak at the meetings, listen to what they're saying. They're saying for us to go and live that way. That's what they're telling us in our community. Go live that way. You can't talk. You can't just sit down and talk about it. If you're talking about sovereign nations, who we are, you have to live it. You got to go to the mountains and you got to live there. You got to collect your food and you got to make your own clothes and you got to learn your own language and speak to your children. So my two little children are here. My grandfather Wolverine is here. My husband's right here.
Yeah. Yeah.
My two babies. I had them on my own. I didn't go to no hospital. I didn't get no registered midwife. It was me and my husband.
Yeah, exactly.
We never registered our children. We never gave them no birth certificate. We didn't need the Canadian government to recognize them. We didn't need that. They don't need that recognition from them. They don't have no social security number.
Yeah.
They don't have no tribal number. We don't need that recognition from them.
Hang out. Do it all over again.
We chose that we wanted to live as much of our way as we could. And then now people are, oh, what are you going to do when they have to go to the doctor? What are you going to do if they have to go to the hospital or they don't have no number? What about school? What about that?
Yeah.
But we try to raise our children as much as we can on the land, learning our ways. My grandfather, Wolverine,
right.
He always tells us, how are we going to fight when our food supply stops? You can't have a movement without being able to feed the people. And that doesn't mean coming up with like money to buy food from the store. Like, how are we going to be self-sufficient?
Okay.
Growing gardens for people who want to stay there on the reserve for the movement, or people that want to go dig roots, pick berries, dry meat. So these are really important to us, and that's why our mountains are so sacred, because it gives us life.
Yeah.
Our food, our basic necessities are from these mountains that are so sacred to us.
Marty.
In the north. You could stand on the top of a mountain and you could see mountains and mountains and mountains and mountains as far as you can see into the distance.
Okay, I'll check that.
And they're extracting trillions of dollars of resources off of our land.
Okay, bad.
And we have a big battle. The small little group of us, as you know, in the movement, is always just a small handful of people.
Okay.
But
sounds good. I'll
by educating each other about why we are in these situations.
Okay.
Educating the youth that there is something different, there's something more. You don't need to go off drinking to have fun. Like, we could go and fight the white man, you know, fight the system.
Thank you, that was sweet.
That's our fun.
Yeah, we did.
So everybody here I know is involved in fighting for the land. And that's what we're here for, is to share our story. We have some documentaries. My grandfather Wolverine, he's here with us, traveled all the way down here. And the government put a hit on him. They wanted him dead. They even set up landmines and shot off an excess of 77,000 rounds at him, shooting off 50 calibers, bringing in armored personnel carriers. They still couldn't kill him because he was standing in defense of sacred grounds, ceremonial grounds, Sundance grounds, protecting that area with a handful of other Native people. So I know when we stand up and we struggle for life and for the Creator, that we have the spirits on our side. And like one person told me that when you have that, told the women of our community, to put all your faith into that and not hold back from your decisions. That, oh no, we can't do that because the cops are going to come in. Or no, we can't do that because they say that's illegal and we might get arrested. Or no, you know, I don't think we should make that stand because what will people think about us? He said, don't do that. Just the women need to come together and counsel and and make that decision based on ceremony, based on that woman's law, on the woman's councils, and make that decision what needs to be done without thinking about any type of repercussions. Just having whole faith in the spirits and that world that's all around us all the time, protecting us, guiding us. I was down in Seminole Territory in March, and the oldest of the they call the Wild Seminoles, a traditional independent Seminole nation. His name was Frank Billy. He told everybody to never stop fighting, to keep on fighting, to always remember your enemy. Always remember your enemy. And he wasn't scared to say it. And he said it was the white man. And he said it out there to hundreds of people. And he said it in his language first. Because that came, those are the people that came to his land and to our land and to everybody's land. His brother, his younger brother, who's an elder and an advisor to us, also said that one white man came up to him in the store and said, "You know, I'm really sorry for my grandparents stealing your land." And he said, "Don't be sorry, because you didn't steal nothing. This land is still here, and we're still living on it. We're still using it." And that's the way that we believe this land is ours. And we don't need no recognition from nobody. We don't need no recognition from nobody. It's all in our own minds. We have to acknowledge that this is all our land. We don't need no Pope or no judge or nobody to recognize that this is our land. We have a responsibility to this land. That's why we're here, Indigenous people. That's the only reason why we're here on this earth, is because we have a responsibility to this land, to places like this, to Matopaha, to Skukwakwuk. Our only responsibility. So every action that we do in solidarity with every other Indigenous nation that's struggling, because it's just all one struggle. We struggle for everybody. And one elder told me that everyone says that they hear the prophecies that they're going to lead them to the place where they're going to be safe. But he said, no, it's only the people that struggle for the land. It's only people that struggle for the water. Every day of their life struggle for that. Not just like their basic survival, struggle for their basic survival, living on the reserve and everything, but actually struggle for this land and fight for this land and stand up and say, no, you're not going to clear cut this area. You're not going to mine this area. And dedicate their whole lives to it, their whole lives to fighting for our future. Our water is so important, and I find that more and more when I travel away from my homeland, from Suquamuk Ulu, because there is so much clean water in the mountains, but it's getting polluted in the valleys where there's development, because there's cities too, and there's mining and there's logging and there's everything, but we still have refuge places where we can go and survive, where we could live. There's Indian families out in the mountains that still haven't come down since contact. They're still living out there, still walking the old Indian trails. They're still there. It's not got lost. They're still out there, like the last of the Indians, the untouched Indians, still speaking their language, still wearing their buckskin and their moccasins, and out there with their families and their kids and their grandmas. it's not too far to think that, that's possible again. So this is what we bring to the young people. The young people in the camp when we're meeting and we're talking and we're having our own little circles. You know, come to the north, come and see. Come and see the mountains. Let's go hunting. We'll bring you berry picking. You could go back with lots of huckleberries and lots of meat. Fish for some salmon. Like, this is what we offer the youth when we talk. And that goes out to the young people that want to get away from that, want to get away from all this stuff that's happening on the reserve. You know, hopelessness and, like, this is the only way. You know, go to Walmart and get your clothes and just listen to your Walkman and go to white man's school. Like, there's more to that. There's more. So, I have some information. I have a binder, and I wasn't able to make photocopies for everybody, but I have a binder. We could sort of pass it around if you don't mind, and people could just sort of look at it, and some pictures and some newspaper articles and some stuff that current things that have been happening in our territory. I'd like to just say one thing before I go, and that's about the Warriors Alliance. And that's the delegation that I came down here with, my husband and warriors from the north. Come together in any time of crisis, and they'll offer their help in any way that they can. So when the call went out to all Indian people to come down here, it was our obligation, it was our responsibility to act on that call. And I know that we're going to be calling on people to come up to the north. We have a big battle, the 2010 Olympics. So I'd just like to let everybody know, because I know that around Indian country, people are going to hear about that. So Kukschang, thank you for allowing me to speak.